So we got devotees watching from Govardhan today. Pretty good. From the spiritual world, they're watching this. Okay, so today is a very special day in the Vaishnava calendar. Instead of going on to Srimad Bhagavatam, we will talk about these two great personalities, one of whom appeared today, that's Gopabhatta Goswami, and one of whom disappeared, and that's Ramchandra Kaviraj. So, first we'll start with Gopabhatta Goswami. So, Om Magana, Timidanda Shad, Gananjana, Shlakaya, Jakshur, Menitam, Yena Tasmai, Shri Gurave Namaha. So, there's a very, very nice poem written about the six Goswamis of Vrindavan by Srinivas Acharya. It's called the Goswami Astika. And I was going to sing it, but my throat's not good enough for it. But basically, Srila Prabhupada described, if you study this poem and song written by Srinivas Acharya, you will understand what it means to be a sannyasi. So, of course, we're very familiar with certain verses, like Nana Shastra Vichara Naikani Panos and Dharma Samstapako, Loganamita Karamel, Chibhuvane, Manyo, Shamanya Karo, Mandi Rupa Sanatana, Raghu Yigo, Shijiva Gopalako, that the Goswamis, their main service was establishing what we call a Saptdharma. Saptdharma Samstapako. Saddharma means eternal religious principles. There are many principles of religion that are not eternal. There are, as described in the Bhagavad Gita, Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nishtrayigunya Vivarjana Nirdwan Bo Nikvasat Vastodi Yoga Shemat Vivan. There are many, like, principles and details in the Vedic literatures that deal mainly with the three modes of material nature. So we are interested in eternal religious principles, sat dharma. I mean, dharma actually means the inherent quality, that which cannot be separated from an object. Like Prabhupada gave the example of water and liquidity. You know, water is liquid. Or fire and heat. So these are principles. This is what's called dharma. Dharma doesn't mean just duties, although it's sometimes translated as that. Like one could say, my dharma is to work in the railway station. But that's not really dharma. Anyway, so the six Goswamis, they studied all the religious literatures from all the different religions in the world, at least the prominent religions, and they established eternal religious principles. So, yeah. Welcome. Swagata. So anyway. So, Gopabhatta Goswami is one of them, and in order to do that, they resided in Braj. And in Braj, they executed many austerities, nijahara. They gave up eating, they gave up sleeping, and they were simply in ecstasy 24 hours a day. Hey, Radhe, Braja Devake, hey, Nanda Shuno Kuta. They were feeling separation. Constant separation from Krishna in the mood, Vipralamba Seva. And they were saying, they were crying out, oh Radharani, oh Krishna, where are you? They never said, I saw Krishna today. Prabhupada said the devotee will never say that. Oh yes, I saw Krishna today, I had a nice talk with him. He told me to go to Bhagavatam class this morning. But the Goswamis weren't like that. They actually were feeling this mood, when will I see Krishna? Great humility, as we were talking about last night. We gave a talk or discussion on the Shikshashtaka and on specifically on Srila Prabhupada's translation of the last chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in which he talks about Lord Chaitanya's humility in relationship to the Shikshashtaka prayers. Anyway, so Gopabhatta Goswami, he was primarily engaged in putting together literatures about the Vaishnava behavior, such as the Hari Bhakti Vilas. And other literatures. Anyway, so let's tell a little bit about the history of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Gopal Bhatta Goswami appeared in a place in India called Sri Rangam. And of course, in Sri Rangam, that's where they worship Lord Ranganath in Vishnu form. And he's lying down. It's quite a big deity. He's lying down and he encompasses, you know, let's say practically all the way from this pillar, maybe to half of this way. He's lying down there in Sri Rangam. Sri Rangam, of course, was the temple where Sripad Ramanujacharya was the acharya many, many years ago. And Sripad Ramanujacharya is the modern representative of the Sri Sampradaya. And even in the Sri Rangam temple, you'll find the body of Sri Ramanujacharya. It's been preserved, like mummified, and you can see him sitting there. We've been there many times. So, let me describe a little bit more about Sri Rangam. Sri Rangam is actually like a Varnashram community. Because we know in Varnashram there's different Varnas. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. And generally the Brahmins live with the Brahmins, the Vaishyas live with the Vaishyas, Kshatriyas, etc. And so around Sri Rangam, it's described like an island, but it's not quite an island. It's an isthmus. That means there's a piece of land that goes out to Sri Rangam. It's surrounded by water. And you have the temple at the center, and around the temple, let's say the first circle of houses around the temple, that's where the Brahmins live. Then the second circle is where the Kshatriyas live. Third circle is where the Vaishyas live. Fourth circle is where the Shudras live, and the Mlechas live in the water. No. Mlechas live somewhere else. Not in Sri Rangam. So, Gopal Bhatta Goswami's father's name was Venkata Bhatta, and they lived in the Brahmin section. So once upon a time, he was a little boy, of course, once upon a time during the Chaturmasya period is the period where it's raining, generally raining a lot in India. So therefore, you have the rules and regulations for special austerities, because the sannyasis would have to remain in one place. And when you remain in one place, you start to get attached to things. So in order to avoid material attachment, that's why they would eat very little, maybe once a day, unspiced food. And also, another thing they would do is they would grow their beards. And the reason for that was not so that they would look handsome. The reason for that was because it was quite hot and humid in India at that time. And having a beard is not a pleasant experience at that time of the year. Here in Slovenia at this time of year, it would probably be pretty pleasant. Instead of covering up your face, it would cover your face. Anyway, I think you get the idea. So when Prabhupada was present, some of the devotees started to follow this Chaturmasya and grow their beards. And Prabhupada got very upset. He said, this is not Chatur mess. Because they look, you know, Prabhupada wanted all the devotees to be clean-shaven. So it's not Chatur mess. Anyway, so this was the 4 months of the rainy season, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu happened to be visiting Sri Rangam during the 4 months of the rainy season, so therefore he was going to stay there during the Chaturmasya period. Now one thing, apart from this story, is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was feeling so much separation from Lord Jagannath that he carved his own deities of Lord Jagannath while he was there, so that he would have deities of Lord Jagannath. And those deities are still there in Sri Rangam, and they're established in a temple opposite the house of Venkata Bhatta, which is still standing there today. And there's a very nice temple, and actually there's a deity or statue of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in front of the Jagannath temple, and there's a Garuda Stamba there. And it's in a very small area, right in front of the house of Venkata Bhatta, on the other side of the street. So, anyway, I invite you all to come and visit when you get a chance. So when Lord Chaitanya was there visiting Shivarangam, staying at the house of Venkatabhata, he was having discussions with Venkatabhata about the differences in Gaudiya philosophy, in other words, the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya philosophy, with the philosophy of the Ramanujacharya followers, the Sri Vaishnavas. So during this discussion, he had some humorous encounters with him. So what happened is that Lord Chaitanya was joking with Venkatabhata, who happened to be a follower of Sri Pad Ramanujacharya. And they worship Krishna in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan, you know, an awe and reverent mood. And so Lakshmi is their deity instead of Srimati Radharani. So Lord Chaitanya was joking with Venkatabhata. He said, why is it that Lakshmi, who's supposed to be so chaste, was performing austerities for many, many years to get Krishna's association in Vrindavan? You know, she's supposed to be devoted to Narayan. However, what is she doing worshiping another guy? And then, of course, Venkatabhata knew the answer to this. He said that actually, Radharani and Lakshmi, they're one and the same, just like we know all the various incarnations of Krishna, such as Nrisimha, Varaha, or the Chaturvyuhas, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Prajuna, and Aniruddha, they're all non-different from Krishna. They are exactly the same, it's just Krishna acting in a different mood. So it's the same thing with the Shaktis, or the expansions from Srimati Radharani. So, Lord Chaitanya said, yes, I understand that. But why is it that Lakshmi, in spite of performing all of these austerities, was not able to enter into Vrindavan? And Venkatabhata actually didn't understand the answer to that. And Lord Chaitanya explained that the reason is she was attached to her opulences. Now, let me explain that. It's not that she was attached materially to opulences, like we maybe get attached to material opulences, but she was attached to worshiping the Lord in a mood of awe and reverence. So that mood has to be given up to enter into Vrindavan. Because if one is simply on the platform of reverential worship, which is generally described as Vaidhi Bhakti, then one cannot enter into the mood of Vrindavan where everybody is very intimate and spontaneous with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, as far as we are concerned, we should not give up the mood of on reverence and worship of Krishna and Radharani. In fact, Srila Prabhupada commented that when we worship the deities of Radha and Krishna, we worship them in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. In other words, as God. You don't go up to the deity of Krishna, if you happen to have Radha and Krishna deities, and say, hey buddy, give me a ladu. Or you don't go up to the deity, if you happen to be a lady, and kiss the deity. That would be muchi. You know, not so clean. So you approach Krishna as God in an awe and reverent mood. Although the deity of Radha and Krishna, or the deities of Radha and Krishna, are Radha and Krishna. They're not different than Radha and Krishna, but the mood is different. At least in our ISKCON temples, in the worship in the ISKCON temples. So, when it is time, internally, we will enter into the spontaneous mood. It's not that we should give up the awe and reverent mood externally. In other words, if you're on a higher platform of Krishna consciousness, if you're on that intimate, spontaneous mood, don't show it. Just keep it to yourself and to your spiritual master. When you're ready, when you have the adhikar. So, in this way, Lord Chaitanya joked with Venkatabhata and was convincing them of the superiority of the Gaudiya understanding, Lord Chaitanya's understanding. So after these 4 months, actually another point about entering into Vrindavan, Lord Chaitanya told Venkatabhata that in order to enter into Braj, you have to follow or serve the lotus feet of the gopis. So he gave him that instruction. So gradually Venkatabhata became convinced. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, also there was another, the uncle of Gopalbhata, whose name is Prabhupada Saraswati, was hearing at the same time from Lord Chaitanya. And later on he was a great Vaishnava, but later on went to Vrindavan and wrote many books too. So when Lord Chaitanya was getting ready to leave Srirangam, Gopalbhata, who was a little boy, started crying. Because Lord Chaitanya was very affectionate with Gopalbhata when he was in Srirangam. In fact, sometimes Lord Chaitanya would take Gopalbhata and put him on his lap, little Gopalbhata, and pat him on the head. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood that Gopalbhata would actually become one of the Goswamis in Vrindavan and help with his mission in Vrindavan. So, Gopalbhata Goswami, or Gopalbhata at that time, had a dream of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Lord Chaitanya was leaving. And in that dream, Lord Chaitanya revealed that he was Shyama Sundar. In other words, Lord Chaitanya appeared as Shyama Sundar. And he instructed Gopalbhata that when it's time, you should go to Vrindavan and serve Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. So externally, so we're talking about the dream first, but externally, Lord Chaitanya instructed Gopalbhata that you should stay here, that is in Srirangam, and serve your mother and father until they pass away. Now that's an interesting instruction, because we have other stories of other Goswamis in Vrindavan, specifically Raghunath Das Goswami, who was basically instructed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to leave his mother and father. It's interesting. And the difference is that Raghunath Das Goswami's mother, or at least father, was not a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at one juncture, this story is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, described Raghunath Das Goswami's father is like a worm in stool. That's not a nice thing to say about your parents. The worm in stool. Even though he was a devotee, but because he was a devotee who was more interested to a certain extent in material things too. Which is interesting. And the reason worm in stool is used in this particular context is that when you have a worm and the worm is in the stool and you pull him out of the stool, what does he do? Anyone know? Goes back. That's his prasadam. So, the point is that right now, at least previously, we were all worms. Not all of you, because you're all great Vaishnavas, but most of us were worms in stool. And, you know, Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada pulled us out of this morass. And sometimes we have the desire to jump back in. And so that's bad. That's bad. So, because they were Sakama devotees. Sakama devotee means a devotee who wants some material thing and he's a devotee too at the same time. So we should attempt to be Nishkam devotees. That means devotees without any material desire to please Krishna. So, therefore, Lord Chaitanya instructed Raghunath Das Goswami, you get home, get out of home and join the other Goswamis in Vrindavan, whereas he instructed Gopalbhata Goswami, you stay in your home and you actually serve your parents. And Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was instructed actually in the same way. And Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, of course, they renounced everything. So, while Gopalbhatta Goswami was there in Srirangam waiting for his parents and serving his parents, he was trained up by his uncle, Prabhupada Saraswati, in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada Saraswati was a sannyasi. And Gopalbhatta always served his parents. His parents passed away, and they ordered him to join Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Vrindavan. And when he got to Vrindavan, Rupa and Sanatana Goswami accepted him like one of their brothers, and they sent a message to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is a very important part of the story, that Gopal Bhatta has now arrived in Vrindavan. So what happened? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent back some remnants of his clothes, particularly his kopina, outer garments, and his seat, so that Gopal Bhatta Goswami could worship his items of clothes. Actually, that's the fact, that one can worship any item that is used by a great pure devotee or by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why sometimes when the deity clothes get old, the devotees either buy or take the deity clothes or wrap the deity, you know, portions of the deity clothes around their wrists. Isn't it?
This is from Prabhupada Samadhi.
Prabhupada Samadhi, yeah. I got one too. It's not on me now. So anyway, so by wearing that, you become free from sins. By wearing the remnants of the Lord. The only type of remnant that you're not allowed to wear, can anyone guess what type of remnant you're not allowed to wear? Of course, you can see what I'm pointing to. The shoes. You can't wear your spiritual master's shoes or Krishna's shoes. But you could, you know, if they have a sweater or any item of clothes. Of course, if they're a sannyasi, you shouldn't put on their sannyas dhoti. Unless you happen to be, say, you know, some of the grahasas go walking around with sannyas dhotis. That's my guru's remnant. That's not appropriate either. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed also Gopal Bhatta Goswami to worship Radha Shamsundar. And Rupa Goswami at that time also had a dream that his deity Govinda wanted Gopal Bhatta Goswami to be the pujari. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami became the pujari of Govinda Deva for some period of time. Then Gopal Bhatta Goswami had the inclination to go and get some Shalaram Shilas. So he went to the Gandaki River, which is in, right now in Nepal, and he returned to Vrindavan with these 12 Shilas. Now, when he returned with the 12 Shilas, he exhibited great humility, and he was thinking, I'm actually not qualified to worship Shalagram Shilas. Now, that's great humility. Nowadays, of course, I find devotees, even without the permission of their spiritual master, or against the order of their spiritual master, are worshipping Shilas. Many people, unqualified people, worshipping Shilas, they take Shilas, and then they find out they can't worship them, and even they put them on the internet for sale. There's this particular internet site called eBay. Anyone's heard about that before? Just type in Shalaram Shilas. You will find so many for sale. Of course, sometimes if people put fake Shalaram Shilas on it. So people should not be worshiping the Shilas unless they get permission from their spiritual master, unless they're actually qualified, unless they're brahminical. So following the example of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who is greatly humble, we should think that we're unqualified. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami thought, you know, I'm unqualified, so I better go and put these Shilas back in the river. So he went back to the Gandaki River, put the Shilas back in the river, thought, you know, I'm not qualified. And guess what happened? The Shilas jumped back into his hands. So he did that again, put the Shilas back, jumped back into his hands. So then you know you're supposed to worship the Shilas. That's the test. You know, that happens, no doubt about it. So then he went back and established the worship of the Shilas there in Vrindavan. And as he was worshipping the Shilas, he felt a little transcendental envy of some of the Goswami godbrothers. And he was thinking, I would like to have a deity to dress, too. So the Shilas, you really can't dress. I mean, you can put little crowns on them, you can decorate them in different ways. But, you know, to make clothes, outfits, and things like that, it's really not done with the Shilas. Because I have Govardhan Shilas, and sometimes I put little hats on to keep them warm in the winter, and kerchiefs, scarves so they'd stay warm. And some of the nice devotees that make jewelry for my shoes. Anyway, so he was thinking, I want to dress, you know, regular deities. And even to encourage him in that particular mood, one rich man died, Shishipad Shatakwa Shishin Goranatai Kijai. One rich man came by and he gave him cloth or to make clothes with for the deities. And he was thinking, what's happening here? So then he took rest, woke up the next morning, and one of the Shilas had become a deity, Krishna. And that deity, of course, is Radharaman. The Shila was a Damodar Shila. And today, you can go to Vrindavan, some of you have been to Vrindavan, and you see this Radharaman deity, very exquisite deity. And if the majority allows, you can see in the back, there's the part of the Shila still remaining on the back of the deity. That's Shishi Radharaman. And that was Gopalbhatta's main deity to be worshipped. So he began to worship Shishi Radharaman by himself. He didn't have any assistant pujari. But then one day, there was a big storm in Vrindavan. And Gopalbhatta Goswami and the Brahmin took shelter in one particular place, and this Brahmin had no son. And as happens in India, you find people gradually, or not gradually, but usually, they are begging for a son. Like if you ever go to these sacred trees in India, you find so many like pieces of cloth wrapped around the sacred trees. Guess what that's for? People want a son. Or daughter. But anyway, they want a child. And old ladies do that with the trees. And you can see the trees are covered with cloth. And so this Brahmin, he said to Gopalbhatta Goswami, that please, Swamiji, bless me with a son. And so Gopalbhatta Goswami said, okay, I bless you to have a son. Because the blessings of a pure devotee always work. So this Brahmin said, all right, if I get a son, guess what? I promise I will give him my first son to you. So 10 years later, Gopalbhatta Goswami is in his bhajan kutir chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And this 10-year-old boy comes. I guess it's a little bit more than 10 years later. Because it had to be time for the pregnancy. Anyway, so this little boy comes, and Gopalbhatta Goswami says, who are you? And the little boy explains that, yes, my father promised that he would give me to you as a servant. And this little boy later on became known as the Gopinath Pujari Goswami, who served Radharaman, the Radharaman deities. And of course, this Gopinath Pujari Goswami, he wasn't a Goswami in the sense of a sannyasi in the renounced order of life. He got married. He had children and his children and his children's children and his children's 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 children were all servants, and they continued to be servants of the Radharaman deity. And Srila Prabhupada commented that if you want to understand the strictest details of deity worship, you should go to the Radharaman temple and study with the pujaris there. In the other temple, many of the other temples, the deity worship is actually slipped quite a bit. Like Prabhupada commented that one time, you know, that the pujaris allow dust to form. In other words, they don't bathe the deities practically any time, maybe once a year or something. And the dust comes on the deities, and they just have to dust off the deities. So Prabhupada commented. But in the Radharaman temple, it's always been a strict standard of deity worship. So one time, Radharaman appeared before Gopalbhatta Goswami as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Amazing story. And so Gopalbhatta Goswami always concentrated on the worship of Radharaman. And later on, he initiated Srinivasacharya. Srinivasacharya, of course, is the second generation, one of the great second generation devotees from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shyamananda Srinivasacharya, and Narottama Das Thakur. And Srinivasacharya was the first book distributor. Sankirtan devotee. Because the story goes, just briefly, that Srinivasacharya was given the books of the Goswamis to take to Bengal. They had made copies of these books. And he, along with Narottama Das Thakur and Srinivasacharya and Shamananda, they brought these books to Bengal, but on the way to Bengal, when they first entered Bengal, there was a king who stole the chest where the books were kept because the king thought that the books, he didn't know there were books, he thought the chest had a great treasure of gold. The king was a dacoit, actually. His name was Virahamvir. That means someone who's very heroic. That's what the word Vira means, heroic. So later on, when the king opened up the chest, he discovered there were books, and later on he came in touch with Srinivasacharya. Srinivasacharya initiated the king and the king's wife, and the whole kingdom became so Krishna conscious they wouldn't allow anybody in the kingdom who didn't chant their japa. That's pretty good, isn't it? We should do that in Slovenia. That anybody who can't or doesn't chant japa, they can go to Croatia. I wouldn't like that one. Anyway, so I knew you wouldn't like that. So that's what King Virahamvir did. And so he was the disciple of Srinivasacharya, who was the disciple of Gopalbhatta Goswami. So Gopalbhatta Goswami was known for the composition of the Hari Bhakti Vilas. In collaboration, he wrote this with Sanatana Goswami. One thing that's interesting about the Hari Bhakti Vilas that we should be aware of is that the Hari Bhakti Vilas was written to a certain extent to act as, it details with the Vaishnava principles, of course, but act as a means of attracting the Brahminical class to Lord Chaitanya's movement. So there's many injunctions in the Hari Bhakti Vilas that are not applicable to us in the Western world. For example, one of the things we eat are carrots. Anyone's heard of carrots before? No? Who here does not eat carrots? So you are violating, what?
I don't like to eat carrots. Sometimes I have to.
But you have to. Someone forces them to eat it? You know, they take you. Anyway, I like to eat carrots. Because they have vitamin A, they're good for the eyes. So, let me explain about carrots. The reason they're mentioned there is because there was a ritual in India based upon some of the interpretations of some of the Puranas, which have been changed, that you shouldn't eat carrots because carrots are the bones and the blood of a sage. I mean, Hare Krishna. Obviously, you don't eat bones and blood, especially of a sage. And therefore, that was what was generally followed by the Brahmins. So in order to present, this is like bridge preaching. Prabhupada explains this. In order to present it to the Brahminical class, you had to have similar injunctions that they would respect. So, and also, you know, there's other things like nightshade, things you're not supposed to eat. Nightshade means like certain types of bacon. A bacon is eggplant. Tomatoes or tomatoes, depending on how you pronounce it here. So, and in certain temples of India, like in Jagannath Puri, they don't offer potatoes. Did you know that? Because it grows under the ground. They won't offer anything that grows under the ground. So there are different, like, rituals in different places in India. And when we're in those places dealing with people who follow those injunctions, we should follow the injunction too. Otherwise, people will disrespect us. So many of the injunctions, Prabhupada mentioned, this is right from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that many of the statements in the Hari Bhakti Vilas were influenced by smarta conceptions. The reason being that you have to follow the general principles that the intellectuals, the brahmanas were following there, to be respected. That's, you know, many things we do are for preaching. For example, we wear this type of dhoti, the sannyasis, for preaching. Because this is not traditional Vaishnava sannyas dress. The traditional dress is, we described this the other day, it's like a lungi or a gamsha, white lungi, white gamsha. When the six Goswamis took sannyas, they didn't wear saffron. In Bhaktivinoda Thakura's book, Jiva Dharma, when the sannyasi actually, there was a Mayavadi sannyasi or Brahmavadi sannyasi, who actually became a Vaishnava, he changed his dress to Vaishnava dress. He gave up his saffron. So the reason we wear saffron is for preaching. Simple. It's for preaching. So we have to do, like Prabhupada said, utility is the principle. Purity is the force, of course, books are the basis. Preaching is the essence. So we sometimes have to adjust certain things, but Prabhupada himself liked carrots. In fact, Prabhupada came up with special carrot dishes on Ekadasi. Does anyone know what that dish is? Carrot halva. So, Hare Krishna. Anyway, so that's why we understand how to apply the injunctions in books such as the Hari Bhakti Vilas through Srila Prabhupada, who was our acharya. If it was good enough for Prabhupada, it's good enough for me. And I like carrots anyway. So, actually, Gopal Bhatta Goswami also was responsible for the six theses, which later on became the Shatsandarbhas written by Jiva Goswami. Actually, he originated the concept of the Shatsandarbhas, and Jiva Goswami worked on it and just refined it. Gopal Bhatta Goswami also wrote a commentary on the Krishna Karnamrita by Bildamangal Thakur. He wrote the Satkriya Dipika, which is the samskaras for grahasthas. Samskara means reform. Sometimes understood it means reformatory practice. Sometimes it means an impression. Basically, it means impression. Doing a particular practice to create an impression on someone's mind and subtle body and spirit. Also wrote the Samskara Dipika, which is also the samskaras for sannyasis and the names of sannyasis. And his ontological position, that is position in Krishna's pastimes, was Ananga Mandri or Guna Mandri. Actually, there's two different opinions. And he was in this world from 1503 to 1578. That's Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Okay, and then just a few words about Ramchandra Kaviraj. We're not going to speak a lot about him. But Ramchandra Kaviraj was an eternal associate, eternally liberated soul, Nitya Siddha devotee, disciple of Srinivasacharya. He met Srinivasacharya when he was walking home after his marriage. Actually, there's injunctions that if you see a sannyasi that your marriage is not considered so auspicious. But anyway. But actually, in Vaishnavism, it's a little bit different. You know, some of these injunctions apply to Karmakanja people. You know, people following the Karmakanja path, the materialistic path. But, you know, I know myself, and Prabhupada also did, we sometimes we perform marriages. That doesn't mean we're making the marriage inauspicious by performing it. So Ramchandra Kaviraj was coming back from his marriage and he spotted his spiritual master. He recognized his spiritual master and then he stayed with his spiritual master. That was the honeymoon, I guess. Stayed with his spiritual master after the marriage. And he was so dedicated to spiritual life. And you grahasthas don't imitate this. But he was so dedicated that he always remained with his spiritual master and especially with his spiritual master's friend, Narottama Das Thakur. He was inseparable from Narottama Das Thakur. There's one famous story where he was with Narottama Das Thakur. He didn't go home to visit his family. And Narottama Das Thakur ordered him to go visit his family. So taking the order of Narottama Das Thakur, he proceeded to where his family was, but only got about 50 meters from where Narottama Das Thakur was. He couldn't bear the separation. And so he was thinking, you know, in a great conflict, I can't leave. And so feeling that, he began to just do some seva, sweep the floor of the temple. And Narottama Das Thakur finally looked out and he saw that Ramchandra Kaviraj had not gone to his family. And he was shaking his head. And Ramchandra Kaviraj felt so guilty that he began to hit himself with a broom, which he was using to sweep the temple. And Narottama Das Thakur ran out and stopped him. He said, "Stop it. You're giving me pain." So that was how close. The reason I'm telling you the story, it illustrates how close and loving the relationship was between these different pure devotees. You know, sometimes we have a Mayavadi conception that, you know, you love Krishna and everybody else is just a jiva soul, you know, just be a little detached. But Vaishnavas should have great love between each other. So later on, he proceeded to join his spiritual master in Vrindavan, and he left this world in Vrindavan, because it's his disappearance day today. And when Narottama Das Thakur heard that Ramchandra Kaviraj had left this world, he composed this famous poem that we sometimes chant on the disappearance days of great devotees, Saparshada Gora Viraha Vilapa, which some of you know as Yayani La Premadana Konana Prachur. That is the song to the departed Vaishnavas. So that's how close their relationship is. And finally, about Ramchandra Kaviraj, I just want to read one poem that he wrote, at least a translation of the poem, that he wrote about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the translation. Just see, brothers, how Lord Gauranga has arisen like a golden moon. Just as the full moon has arisen in the sky, another fuller moon arose in the form of the Gaura avatar, just to deliver us from all this dark age of ignorance. His mercy takes away the sufferings of the jiva souls. Japa, mantras, austerities, and other rituals are all useless for purification in the age of Kali. Here he's talking about not Hare Krishna japa, but people have other types of japa. The only means of deliverance is the Hare Krishna mantra. Mahaprabhu is so kind that he has manifested the nectar of the holy name so that the souls in this dark age can be released from the cycle of repeated birth and death and hellish life in the lower planetary systems and experience divine love. Whether one is blind or dumb does not matter. Everyone can drown in this inundation, that means flood. In this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has drowned everyone in love of Godhead, but Ramchandra Das, that's him, is so unfortunate that he could not taste even a drop of that nectar. So that's the humility. I mean, hearing about these great Vaishnavas, there's many qualities we can concentrate on, meditate on, and try to develop. And of course, one of them is humility, another one is love for the other Vaishnavas. And these are very important lessons for us. So, any questions or comments about Gopal Bhatta Goswami or Ramchandra? Yes?
Janardhan, one of Gopal Bhatta's shilas is in Iskan.
Really? Where?
There is one Brahmachari, Guru Gauranga, long time ago. He was in India, they were doing some programs there, and they invited him to see a temple. And he wanted to have a shila of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and they gave it to him.
Wow.
He was walking out, they said no. Then he was walking out of the temple. They said, okay, come back. And they gave him shila.
One of the 12 shilas.
Yeah. And then he got married, he got children, he started a business, and he was sending. And then he decided to give the shila because he said, I can't worship because he was sending loads of money to Jain for his guru. Mm. So then he decided to give this shila to Indradumna Maharaj. Indradumna Maharaj is always carrying the shila.
Wow.
His primary shila.
Wow.
He's proud of it. He wrote the whole thing. I know he's Anguru Brahma's daughter. She poured wow. me.
What a nice story.
Indradumna Maharaj wrote it.
Thank you. That's a nice story. So, any other questions? Yes. Yeah.
Thank you. Yesterday we had one discussion, small discussion between the Matajis.
The Matajis.
Yes.
the Prabhis. Yes.
I claimed that everything that was happening in our life to us, that this is our responsibility.
Yes.
Yes, but they didn't agree with me. Can you? I'm.
Oh, rascal Montages. I'm just joking. Everything, we should take responsibility, yes. Whether we become Krishna conscious or not is our responsibility.
Whether my leg is in pain is my responsibility.
Well, it depends. No, sometimes, no. Yeah. Not necessarily.
Uh-huh.
But if you've done something that, you know, for you've done something, like you jumped off a building, your leg is in pain, you know, it's your fault. But, you know, certain things, our arrangements, you have to distinguish. Certain things are arrangements of Krishna, but it's not that... I mean, I'll give you an example. Devotees got in a car accident one time and died. Some devotees. Another devotee went to Prabhupada and said, boy, that was Krishna's mercy. Prabhupada said, no, it was their foolishness.
It's the responsibility.
It's the responsibility. Yeah. So let's say if you're eating the wrong foods, I mean, even prasadam, you know, you have to be careful what you eat.
Uh-huh.
Eat healthy. Just like I gave a seminar a number of years ago, Stop Killing the Devotees. So, some of you may have attended that seminar. So, if in spite of, you know, just objective medical knowledge, and you have diabetes and you're eating tons of sugar, and your diabetes gets worse, you can't say, it's Krishna's desire. Krishna's desire that my leg had to be amputated. You know, it's not. It's the person's foolishness. Sometimes, yes, if it's out of our control, things that are out of our control. You know, let's say there's a storm here and the electricity goes off and it's freezing. It's not that I did it. That's definitely an act of God.
Yes.
Okay. You know, it's definitely an act of God. It's not my fault that there was a storm. So there's certain, you know, it's not one or the other. It depends on the circumstance.
What about my husband, or whatever husband is?
No, your husband.
That's my responsibility too. I understand
To do what to your husband?
What? If he is yelling on me or something.
Then beat him. You get a stick
in him. I'm responsible.
Yeah, no, you're... It's not that you have to sit around and get, or anybody, you know, has to sit around and get beaten. You know, you leave the situation. Don't say, it's Krishna's mercy. You know, someone comes and puts a gun to your head. That's not the husband, obviously. Husbands just use sticks. So, let's say, you know, someone in the street puts a gun to your head and, you know, says, give me your money. And you say, oh, this is Krishna's mercy. Maybe Krishna's mercy, but you should respond in the proper way. I mean, if you know jujitsu or karate, you know, take the gun from him if you know how to do it. And give him the money to get rid of him, you know. Don't think, you know, this is Krishna's money, I have to protect it. And if he shoots me anyway, that's Krishna's mercy. You know, there's something you can do to get out of a circumstance. So you have to use your intelligence. It's not that everything that happens is Krishna's mercy. A lot of things are our foolishness.
Okay, I understand, like action, reaction.
Yeah, I mean, there's the laws of nature.
Yes.
I mean, we're a devotee, or you're a devotee, and We don't have karma, because, you know, once you chant Hare Krishna, even Namabhas, there's no karma. But you can still do foolish things where you get a reaction for it. There's certain laws of nature. If you eat too much sugar, maybe you get diabetes. That's a law of nature. It has nothing to do with karma. Nothing to do with karma. It's just like, jump off a building, you break a leg. Even if you're a pure devotee, it happens. You say, what? What did happen? Why didn't Krishna protect me? Well, he protected you by giving you the intelligence not to jump off the building. That's how he protects you. You know, Krishna gives you intelligence too. And if you don't take that intelligence, then you haven't taken Krishna's protection. So anyway, so each and everything that happens, yeah, basically you should analyze whether it was your fault or you can do anything about it, or it's just like, it's Krishna's.
Definitely it is not Kali Yuga.
It is Kali Yuga.
Yes, it is Kali Yuga. But
haven't you discovered that yet?
Okay, it's not because of Kali Yuga that my leg is...
Yeah, maybe because of Kali Yuga, you know, the bodies don't function so well anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that may be an effect of Kali Yuga, that's true. But it also may be because you did something to hurt your leg. I mean, it's just... You can't give one response to every single circumstance. You have to analyze, or you can analyze, each and everything that happens and just see, you know, whether it was my fault, partially my fault, or someone else did it. But, you know, you see Krishna everywhere. Certainly you do see Krishna everywhere. Krishna says in the sixth chapter of the Gita text 30 that one should see Krishna everywhere and in everything, and he won't become lost to Krishna. That's true. But that doesn't mean that you blame Krishna for every single thing that happens. There's a little bit of difference. A lot of difference. Okay? So...
I just wanted to add, because of this conversation, that she is blaming herself about everything.
No, it's not your... It's that you're not to blame for everything.
Yes, not every... Do one step and she immediately... Oh, it is my fault.
Okay. Okay, Mataji's. Okay. So, anyway, the main thing, you be loving. If you're not loving with each other, it's not Krishna's fault, your fault. If you don't love each other. So, anyway, just everything is different. Everything that happens is different. It's not, my fault is not, you know, I don't have to take the responsibility for everything that happens to me. A lot of things. Krishna, yeah.
The Prophet Muhammad said something very in this connection. Pray, but tie your camel.
Tie your camel.
Yeah.
Pray, yeah, that's good.
Tie your camel.
And we say pray, but take the keys out of your car.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, isn't it?
Blind circumstances.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, if you leave a key in your car and someone steals it. Oh, Krishna wanted my car to be stolen. No. That's true. Actually, yes, that's a good quote. I should remember that. Pray but tie your camel. Hopefully everyone will understand that when I give that example. Maybe they're thinking of camel cigarettes or something. So any other interesting points or P2Gs? Mataji's and P2Gs. Alright, so
Srinivas, Sharan and Narada went to Sankirtan, right? I heard that Chitanya Sankirtan was at the bottom the first and then top.
Yeah, I've heard that story, but I don't know where it comes from. You know, I've read the Bhakti Ratnakara, I read all the Narottama Vilas, and I haven't read it in any of those books, but, you know, maybe it's true. Maybe it's true, I don't know.
Satyaraj's
book, but, you know, a lot of those are stories. You know, like you read about, it's interesting, sometimes you go around Vrindavan and you hear this story, that story, you say, where's that from? Well, I heard it in the village. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. I just haven't read it myself. In one of the original source books. like the Narottama. I've read practically every book about Srinivasacharya I can get my, you know, original books I can get my hands on. Because I found Srinivas, Narottama, and Shavananda to be quite, like, attractive and interesting. Their history is really interesting. You know, how they carried out Lord Chaitanya's vision. You know, Narottama Das Thakur. Shavananda went to Orissa. Anyway. So, I haven't read it myself, but could be. So, any other questions or comments or problems? Yes.
What are dreams? Does they have? Do they have any meaning, or is it just
what is what?
Dreams.
Oh, dreams can sometimes have meaning. Like if the spiritual master appears in the dream, that can happen. I mean, I've had Prabhupada appear in my dreams and chastise me a few times. So. But one has to confirm whether it was actually, like, say, Krishna, the spiritual master, by talking to other devotees. Especially one can consult with, you know, other pure devotees or the spiritual masters. They say, Guru Maharaj, I had a dream last night, and you told me to go to China. So what should I do, Guru Maharaj? And Guru Maharaj will say, well, I wasn't there, you know, I don't want to. And then you say, but in the dream you told me this. And Guru Maharaj says, no. He said, but Guru Maharaj, how can you disagree with yourself? So then you have Guru Maharaj is having an argument with himself. You know, China. So you have to be careful about dreams. Yes, they can be very spiritual. I mean, I've had a number of dreams that were spiritual. I mean, just like, you know, I had dreams in which, anyway, Krishna told me what diet to follow. So, Krishna didn't go to a doctor. No, he's, you know, basically, you know, whatever diet I'm following now is given from a dream. So, that makes sense. So, but don't take dreams as absolute. But certainly, you know, dreams. But we have so many dreams that are not Krishna conscious every day. So many dreams. About a year ago, I had this dream. I was completely un-Krishna conscious dream. But I was a devotee in the dream. I had a dream that after the present President of the United States got elected, I was appointed a member of his cabinet. And I was giving him advice about Krishna consciousness. So, I mean, maybe that was good. Maybe it happened on the subtle platform or something like that, but certainly it's not going to happen. Maybe. It would be nice, wouldn't it? What do you think?
His next mandate.
His next mandate, yeah. Hare Krishna. So, you know, we have all these dreams sometimes based on our desires, based upon past lives. We may dream we're a bird flying. You know, Prabhupada gives this example. You may dream you're a bird. Or, no, Prabhupada gives the example, you may dream of gold. I may have experienced gold in the past and a mountain, and you put it together and you get a gold mountain in the dream. That's Prabhupada's. So sometimes we put together two true things. So dreams are dreams. So any other questions? Yes.
The dream is named
Sapna. Sapna, yeah.
Sapna Shiksha.
Sapna Shiksha, yeah.
Guru Shoda Baba, they come in dream, but the Siddhanta is take sannyas.
Yes. When you're Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you can get Sapna Shiksha. But for me, it's Swapna, Maya. Yeah, there's different types of dreams. And basically, I like I like to do things in real life. I dreamt I was at Mangalarti, that's why I wasn't there this morning. So better be at Mangalarti. Okay, on that happy note, we're going to dream we're eating prasadam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.